be seated. It's good to welcome those who are joining us by internet, wherever you are tonight on this Christmas Eve. We're glad that you are a part of our service. We hope if you're at home, if you're joining with friends around a computer screen, you feel very much a part of this community of faith. And to each of you, welcome to St. Luke's tonight. For those of you where for years you've come maybe to this service and you're saying, where's Kent? Well, I'm the new guy. And I got here in August, and it's my first Christmas Eve here at St. Luke's, and what a joy it is to be here. It's a joy to welcome you. Maybe you're a family from out of town. You live perhaps here in the Indianapolis area. This is a part of your Christmas tradition, and we're grateful that you're sharing it with us. I hope, given that Christmas this year is on Sunday, that you'll get up tomorrow morning and come back to church. Because Kent will be here preaching, as Marcia shared a moment ago, and it's going to be a very, very special Christmas day. Also, we hope that you'll come back and join us starting January the 8th for a new worship series, as she shared a moment ago, connecting themes around football with the game of life and faith. It's going to be a very, very special series, and our community is going to be thinking a lot about football in January, so we hope you'll join us beginning then. Well, the anthem that you heard a moment ago during the offering, you'll also note in your bulletin, is dedicated to Dr. Carver McGriff, a former senior pastor here at St. Luke's of 26 years. If you have not read his book about his experience as a 19-year-old fighting in World War II in the Normandy invasion, I encourage you to pick up a copy. You can find them in our bookstore. In the opening of that book, Carver says this: "The battle for Normandy was the single most crucial battle of World War II. The leaders of the Allied nations knew that without a foothold on the continent of Europe, there was little hope of defeating Nazi Germany." If you've ever watched the movie Saving Private Ryan, it opens for the first 45 minutes with a very realistic depiction of that scene. All of that fighting, one of the worst battles of the war, for such a tiny stretch of real estate, beachfront in Normandy. It was insignificant compared to the vastness of Europe and changing the tide of a war, and yet that's exactly what happened. With that insignificant little bit of foothold, as Carver calls it, it eventually led to victory. In a way, that is what happened at Bethlehem. Bethlehem was an invasion point. In that tiny, insignificant little stable, God entered human history and began an influence that has spread around the world, a force of love and grace, changing the course of history, still changing lives today. During this season of Advent leading up to Christmas, we've been thinking about one verse in the Christmas story, There Was No Room in the Inn. Each week we've looked at a different angle of that concept, that Jesus had no room to be born in the inn. We've thought about how his birth was not conventional. Not that being born in an inn would make it conventional. But there was no room for Jesus to come into the world except a tiny, tiny little space. And yet that insignificant space was a point of entry from which Jesus could grow and influence lives. In children's nativity pageants, they often have a character portray the innkeeper and usually lower his voice and say in a harsh tone, "No room for you," and shut the door. In one nativity pageant, the two boys chosen to be Joseph and the innkeeper were unfortunately arch rivals. They never got along. And the little boy playing the innkeeper schemed a way to get one up on his enemy. He decided to change a line on the night of the performance, Christmas Eve. Packed church. Joseph knocks on the door and says his line, "Sir, may we have a room?" And the innkeeper opens the door, and instead of saying his line and shutting the door, he said, "Why, sure, come on in." Joseph didn't know what to do. If he goes in, it's like the story's over. What do you do now? So he was pretty quick on his feet. He walked in, looked around, and said, "Well, no wife of mine staying in a dump like this. Come on, Mary." That's pretty quick, isn't it? But the plot just doesn't hold together if you don't make the innkeeper cruel and mean. It's just hard to hold the story together. How else could a person stand in front of a young, expectant couple in the middle of the night and turn them away? Unless it's just an uncaring individual. But Jesus was born in a stable, not because the innkeeper was uncaring. In fact, just the opposite. The innkeeper had no room. What was he to do? Kick out paying guests? He did not have space, but he could have closed the door and said, "I'm sorry," gone right back to bed, yet he did not. Chances are, he said to this couple, "Unfortunately, I have nothing here, but there is a stable in the back. It's where the guests put their animals to stay. It is not much. I'm embarrassed to offer it, but it's a place. It's a place." He did what he could. He made just a little room. And how significant was that little room? How significant was that place? That with that point of entry, a Savior was born and came into the world. How significant is it when people make just a little room for Christ to enter? 1965, a young, ambitious, driven man living in Montgomery, Alabama, experienced a dramatic turn in his life. His wife, Linda, came home one day and she said, "I'm done with this marriage. I'm leaving." He realized in that moment that more important than his career that had made him a millionaire by the age of 29, and remember, we're talking 1965, he really loved his wife and he wanted to keep his marriage together, and he said to her, "I will do whatever it takes." So they decided to work on their marriage. One of the first things they did was they got rid of the majority of their wealth and they gave it to the poor. And they decided that they needed meaning and purpose in their lives. That's what was missing, meaning and purpose. And they were going to open up room in their lives to serve God, whatever that meant, doing something for others. They left Montgomery, they moved to a small community in South Georgia. And through influences in that community, they began an organization devoted to building houses for people who could not afford houses. And that is how an organization started that we know today by the name of Habitat for Humanity, Millard and Linda Fuller. How significant is it when just a little room is made, when somebody says, "I need help here, God, I will do what I've got to, I'm going to make a little room for you." What might that lead to? That is what Christmas is about. The significance of people making a choice to say, "Lord, I need your help in this place of my life. Come and enter in, whatever that means. I'll just give what room I've got. Come." And out of that, amazing things can happen. Out of Bethlehem, Jesus grows, becomes a man, brings disciples to follow him, teaches, talks about putting a little bit of yeast in a batch of dough and how it affects the whole dough. Talks about a little mustard seed that can grow into a huge plant and provide shelter for birds. Talks about a little boy, brings his lunch, a few crackers and some fish, but because Jesus blessed that, thousands were fed by it. Jesus' ministry becomes an example of what God can do when people take just little steps. They say, God, will you come into this part of my life and help me? Something I've been doing since arriving here at St. Luke's in September is meeting with groups in our congregation just to hear from people what they love about the church. And it has been a ball. It has been a ball. A couple of weeks ago, I was in a home, and one gentleman began to speak. And he said, I have to kind of tell you mine in a story form. I started coming to St. Luke's some years ago, and this is how it happened. I was at home with my wife and children one day, and my wife just left. She walked out the door, left me and the kids sitting there in the house. And then he says, 2 hours later, she came back. Next week, she did the same thing. 2 hours, came back. So I finally said, where are you going? She said, well, I'm going to church. Well, he had never gone to church. So he said, well, next week, I want to go with you. I think he wanted to know she really was going to church. She was coming here to St. Luke's. So he started coming with her, and much to his surprise, he liked it. In fact, he says, I loved everything about the service, except there was one little thing, the offering. The offering really bugged him. He didn't like how you had to pass this plate every time and give something. It just felt coerced. He said, almost out of spite, he would put $1 in the offering plate. But he kept coming. He kept coming. He kept making room an hour a week. Eventually, the offering didn't bother him anymore. In fact, he said he got up to $5. Offering plate would come by, and he was pretty proud of that. He would hold the plate for a little while so people would kind of notice he's putting his $5 in and then pass it on. But even at this point, all it was a good show. Great music, fun community. The pastor had powerful messages, but it was just good wisdom for his life, sort of self-help concepts. That's what he took out of it. Good self-help. But one day, he says, it happened. I said, what was it? He said, oh, you know, it. It happened. Nothing dramatic. The pastor got up to speak. He had this habit. Right before the message began, he would just pause for a moment. And then he started. And that moment when he paused that day, there was something about the light coming through the window. I don't know what it was, but there was this aura of light around his head. And suddenly it hit me. This was not just him talking. This was not just his wisdom. God is doing this. God is speaking through him, and it just became real to me that God is real. And if God is real, what does that say for me? That this God loves me. This God cares about me. This God wants to be a part of my life. And he said, I just fell apart. I started crying in the pew. Sermon barely started. I'm sitting there crying. He said, for 3 days I cried. He said, for a while I was worried that I had male menopause. But he knew that wasn't it. The reality of God broke through in his life, and he said, it changed everything about my life. It made me a different person. I started serving in ministry opportunities. He said, for a lot of years, I taught junior high Sunday school. That shows how much it got a hold of me. I was teaching teenagers. I got involved in leadership in the church. He was on the committee that built the building we're sitting in right now. It happened. Just because he gave an hour a week. But that's how it works. That's what happens when people just make little steps, when they say, okay, I'll give an hour a week. I'm going to start coming to worship and see if it might happen to me. I'm going to give time to pray. I'm going to practice some devotion routines in my life. I'm going to serve. I've been feeling this nudge. Okay, I'm going to make time. I'm going to go do something for others. I'm going to practice greater generosity. But it doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take a lot for something really significant to start and to spread. Tonight, do you feel a knock on the door of your heart? And do you hear a voice saying, "Will you give me some room?" It doesn't have to be the biggest room in the house. It doesn't have to mean turning your life upside down. For the innkeeper, it was a little dingy stable out back. But do you have a little room? In a moment, we will share in probably what is everybody's favorite part of Christmas Eve, lighting a candle. And when you light your candle in a moment, I want you to think about this thought. This light has come for me. This is my light. God sent His Son into the world for me. What does that light mean for you? Maybe tonight it means making room in your family. Maybe your marriage has hit a tough patch. Maybe you're struggling in a relationship with a child or a sibling, somebody you love. You don't know what to do about it. You're at your wit's end and you're just saying, "You know, Lord, I need you to bring some light into that place in my life. Will you come? Whatever that means, I'll make room for you and be a light in my family." Maybe tonight this is a tough Christmas because you've gone through some disappointment. Maybe you've had some loss, some grief, maybe some bad decisions have preceded your Christmas this year. And your candle means, "Lord, I need some direction. I need some comfort. I need some healing. I'll make room for you, whatever that means. I'll make room. But Lord, I need your help." Maybe it means something totally different for you. Maybe you're about to light a candle and you've done this before and you're going to hold it up. But for you, it doesn't mean anything at all. Because faith has been a hard thing to swallow. The whole concept of God becoming human, resurrecting from the dead. Maybe you've been around some other Christians that they've said, if you really believe, it means a whole host of other stuff that you just can't swallow. But there's still something inside of you that's like a spark. Something that at times tells you there is more than just what you see and touch in this world. And maybe that light is God, maybe. That's it, maybe. Maybe you are real. Maybe there is a God. I'm willing to give you a chance tonight. Maybe. I need this light to be faith. Maybe life is good for you. Maybe you're not hurting. Financially, you're doing fine. Everything is working for you, but there are days when you say, "But is there anything more? Is there more meaning? Is there more purpose? God, I need your light to show me something more. What do you need Christ to do in your life?" He's here. He is with us. He does not want much, just a little room. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, you come into this world and say you are the light of it. You bring light that is hope, that is love, that is direction, that is peace. And any way we feel you knocking on the door of our hearts right now, we say, Lord, we make room for you tonight. Come and enter into my life and let your love move through me and direct me however you will. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.